If you will, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 19. We'll be taking our reading from 1 Kings chapter number 19, some of my favorite scripture. I have preached out of this scripture, I couldn't tell you how many times in the short time that I've been preaching, and probably in the 2 years that I've been here, it's been a little over 2 years now, I have probably either mentioned, preached about, or talked about this scripture in probably a dozen or so messages. It's some of my favorite scripture, and I just ask you, if you will, to pray as we get into the message this morning that I can relay the thought that God's put in my heart and on my mind this morning. Man, what a wonderful blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. Just excited to be here this morning. On the way to church this morning, Silas was in the back of the car, and we had to go pick up some girls and stuff. We were sitting out in the driveway talking. I was like, "Hey, man, what's wrong with you?" And he's like, "Man, I'm just tired." I said, "Well, what's wrong with you?" He said, "Oh, I didn't get sleep last night." Well, whose fault was that? That was his fault, right? Well, we get to church this morning. He walks in, and he's all just humdrum. And he walks in, he smells that bacon, and he looks like that little dog on that commercial. Bacon, 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 bacon. I mean, he just comes late. He gets halfway up the stairs to Sunday school, and he turns around and goes, "We are staying to eat, ain't we?" I said, "Yeah, we're going to stay and eat. What word are you talking about?" It's amazing what bacon will do for you this morning. But hey, I'm just thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Again, I ask you just to pray and just ask God for his blessings on the preaching this morning. If you're here and you're visiting with us this morning, we just want to welcome you to Fellowship Baptist Church. We want to thank you for taking time and opportunity to be here, but I don't believe you're here by coincidence. I don't believe any of us are. I believe we're here by the divine will of God, and I ask you for just the next few moments, let's let everything else go out of our minds. Let's forget about tomorrow. Let's forget about after a while, and let's just concentrate on what God wants us to have in his word. I will pass along one thought, but before I get into the message also, is we now have an app for Fellowship Baptist Church. If you have an Android device, you can go to the Google Play Store, and you can look up Fellowship-Ara. Is that correct? Yes. And you can download the app from there. If you have an Apple device, you can go to the Apple Store and look for Share Faith is the name of what you're looking for. And once you find that Share Faith app, you can download it. And then you can select Fellowship Baptist Church, Ararat, North Carolina, as your church. And we have our calendar on there. We have music from the choir. We have our messages on there. Different things. It's going to be really neat. I even was sent a notification last night about the pancake supper. So it's going to be really some really cool stuff that you can do through that app. So if you want to take the time to download that, I'm sure you will find it beneficial to you. If you will, bow your heads with me and pray for me. And pray with me this morning. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for all that you do for us, God. God, I'm just thankful to be in your house this morning, thankful to be in your presence. God, it seems like this week has been a long, stressful week, and maybe not just for me, maybe for some others. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll just help us as we're in your house this morning, God. God, I know that we're here to honor and to worship you and to give you glory, but God, I believe that also being in your presence is a time for us to refuel, God. It is a time for us to draw close to you, to seek you in our lives, God, to fix mistakes that are in our lives. And God, I pray that you'll just help us as we're here for just a few short minutes this morning, God. I pray that you will just draw us close to you, God. I pray that you'll hold us if we need holding. God, I pray that you'll correct us if that's what we need. God, I pray that you'll just meet every need in every life and every family that's here in this congregation this morning. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they hear that small, still voice, that they feel that squeeze on their heart, God, and that they respond and accept you as their King and as their Savior. God, we just thank you, we praise you for all that you do, and it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Before I begin reading here, I got to get into my favorite part. If you go back into chapter number 18, we know that there is a big famine going on. And Elijah has declared that there's going to be no rain for a space of time. And here, God has instructed Elijah to go back to Ahab. And he has told Elijah, he said, "I want you to go to Ahab, and I want you to tell him that it's going to rain." So Elijah gets up, and he takes off. And he goes to find Ahab. Now, Ahab has a very mean wife, Jezebel. Sorry, I didn't mean to get choked up right there. Ahab has a very mean wife, Jezebel. And Jezebel's calling the shots. Man, I mean, she's leading everything the way that she wants it to go, and she is awful. The Bible even tells us that at her death, the Bible says that she was eaten by dogs. That's how bad it was, that was the way that God seemed fit for her to leave this place. But anyway, as Elijah goes back to Ahab, and he tells Ahab, "Look, it's going to rain." But before he even gets to Ahab, he realizes that the reason Ahab asks the question to Elijah, he says, "Elijah," He said, are you the one that is troubling Israel? Are you the reason that there is no rain? Are you the reason that we are in this famine? What in the world have you done to us, Elijah? And Elijah answers Ahab, and he says, Ahab, it's not my fault that you're in the predicament that you're in. It's not my fault that we're in the middle of a famine. The problem is that you have people, you have the children of God, you have the Israelites, and they are following after a strange God. They are worshiping Baal. And I want to tell you today that that's the reason that you are experiencing the things that you are experiencing, Ahab. He said, so I tell you what, how long will you halt between two opinions? He said, let's find out who the real God is. And Elijah says, I tell you what, Jezebel, you get your 450 prophets of Baal, and let's have a little contest. Man, some of my favorite scripture. I know I've told this story 100 times probably. And he says, let's get your 450 prophets and against me, and let's find out. Whosoever God answers by fire will know that he is truly God. The Bible tells us that they went out and they provided a sacrifice, and that they went out and they began to call on Baal, and that Baal never answered. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. And Baal never answers, and Elijah begins to poke fun at him and ask him, well, maybe he's going on a long trip, or maybe he's asleep, or whatever's going on is the reason that Baal's not answering. And then we know that Elijah made everything even harder, that he took his sacrifice and that he soaked it in water, that he filled trenches around his sacrifice with water. And then he began to call upon God, and he began to ask God to show himself. And he began to say, God, let these people know that I'm your servant and that you are the one true God. And the Bible tells us that God answered with fire, and that he sent down fire, and that the fire consumed the sacrifice. And not only did the fire consume the sacrifice, but it licked the trenches dry that was filled up with water. That he answered Elijah because Elijah asked him to show himself. And you would think that that would be enough to show people that there is one true God. And yet today we're still experiencing that question in people's hearts and lives, that who is God? But I want to tell you what, the God that was experienced there in 1 Kings chapter number 18 and chapter number 19 that consumed that sacrifice by fire, the God that answered Elijah's prayer is the same God that you and I are serving today. I know that I've never called down fire, and I don't think any of you have, but I'm so thankful that I have a God in heaven that hears my prayers, that he answers my prayers, that he is opening his ears for me, and that he has provided for me so many times, and even beyond the times that I even know about, that I have a God in heaven who cares about me this morning. The Bible tells us that Elijah instructed for the 450 prophets of Baal to be killed. Then, after that happened, Elijah, he goes up to the top of Mount Carmel. Again, we're in the middle of a famine because it hasn't rained. And Elijah goes up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he has his servant with him. And he tells his servant, I want you to go and look and see if you see any clouds. The servant comes back twice and says, no, I don't see any. The third time that Elijah sees him, he says, I want you to go look and see. If you see any clouds, you see any sign of rain. The third time, the servant comes back and he says, Elijah, I see a cloud, and it's about the size of a man's hands. Elijah gets up and he hollers to Ahab. They're both at Mount Carmel, and Elijah says, you better get home or your buggy's going to get stuck. And Elijah takes off running, and I got a little map in my Bible that shows the distance, and it was over 10 miles from Mount Carmel back into the kingdom. And the Bible tells us that Elijah outrun Ahab all the way back, and here come the rain. God once again let Elijah be part of his miracle. God once again let Elijah be looked at as one that knew God and that God was real. But now we get to chapter number 19. Man, Elijah just called down fire, defeated 450 prophets of Baal, had them killed. Elijah just more or less called down rain, and God sent the rain. Look at chapter number 19, verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Old Jezebel said, you know what, that's fine, but I'm going to kill you. I'm not putting up with you no more. Verse number 3. And when he saw that, he rose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, is it enough now, O Lord? Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Now we find that Elijah just called down fire, had 450 prophets of Baal killed, called the rain and outrun Ahab all the way back into the kingdom. And now because Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you, he's afraid and on the run. What happened to all that power of God that he was so sure about? What happened to all that confidence in God that I'll go against you and your 450 prophets? That I'll go up here and I'll say that it's fixing to rain and it's going to rain. What happened to that confidence that Elijah had? But you know what? There's a whole lot of times in my life that I leave here on Sunday mornings and I have confidence in God. I feel the power of God. I know that God's real. I mean, there's times here on Sunday morning that when I'm up here preaching that I got cold chills and I'm sweating like crazy because of the power of God, and God's Spirit is so real here in our church. And then by Monday morning, things begin to happen, and all of a sudden, I find myself running for my spiritual life. I find myself afraid of what's happening in my life. I find myself doubting what God's power in my life because I run into a little Jezebel out here. Not a real Jezebel. A real problem. Lord, help me. Because I run into a problem out here, and all of a sudden, I'm scared. Can God deliver me from this? Here Elijah is, and now he's on the run. What happened to that power? Verse number 6. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Hey, I'm glad that when I get in that situation that God don't just leave me there and say, you know what, if you ain't got no more confidence in that in me, then I'm done with you. But even as Elijah was here, the Bible tells us that God sent an angel to strengthen him. And let's look at verse number 9 and see what God does. And Elijah came, and he came thither into the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Have you ever felt that God looked at you and said, what are you doing here? Why are you doubting me? Why, after all that I've done for you, have I ever let you down? Have I ever not come through for you? Then why in the world are you doubting me in this circumstance? Why in the world are you not trusting me now? And that's what God's saying to Elijah. Elijah, what are you doing here? Verse number 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. In other words, Elijah is saying, I've been very zealous, or I've been very active for the Lord God. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down the altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah says, God, I'm scared, because I've done everything to try to hold everything that you have for us. They are destroying your altars, and I'm the only one left. I'm the only Christian left, God, and now they seek to kill me. Verse number 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and great strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rock before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering before the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? I want you for the next few minutes, I want you to listen for a still small voice in your life. Elijah went out to the opening of the cave, and he seen the earthquake, and he seen the wind, and he seen the fire, and God was not in those things, but in that small, still voice is where God can speak to us. And I want you to listen for the next few moments for that small, still voice in your life, and let God speak to you, and let God reassure you, and let God let you know that he's got you no matter what. Because I want to go all the way back to verse number 7, and I want you to look what the angel of the Lord told Elijah. I want you to look as Elijah is laying here and he is winning. He's found himself a juniper tree to lay up against and to kind of have a moment just to kind of reflect and figure out what's going on. The Bible says unto us in verse number 7, it says, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and it said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. I want you to know something this morning, church. This journey that we're on, this journey that we call life, no matter how long or how short it may be, for each and every one of us, I want you to know that on your own power and in your own might and on your own will, that this journey is too great for you, that this journey is too hard for you, that this journey is something that you can't take on your own. And you want to know how that I know that? Because you look out here in a lost and a dying world, the people who are trying to do this journey on their own, they're seeking peace and comfort in places that it's not going to be found. They're out here seeking happiness in places where it's not going to last. They're out here seeking joy when joy don't exist out here. But I want to tell you this morning that this journey is too great for us on our own. That this journey gives us things that we're going to come up against that is just too great for us if we try it on our own. Because this journey is full of disappointments and burdens. This journey is full of troubles and trials. I don't know about you, but it seems like sometimes when I get to the top of that spiritual mountain, when I get to that place where God's just blessing and man, I'm just walking along and I'm whistling Amazing Grace and man, everything's wonderful in my life, you can just count on it that something is going to happen to try and pull you back down. You can just count on it that life is going to take place, that there's going to be a disappointment in your life. There's going to be a burden or a trouble or a trial, and those things are too great for me. There's sometimes it's just hurt feelings that come along our way. Somebody that you thought would never forsake you, they forsake you. Somebody that you thought would never do you wrong, they done you wrong. Somebody that you thought would never leave you, all of a sudden they're gone out of your life. And these things are too great for us. There's broken hearts and temptation and sin. There are things in our life that are going to test our faith beyond where our faith is capable of being tested on our own. There is going to be doubt that comes into your life. Things that you thought that would always be the same are going to change. And for us, the journey is too great for us. The journey is too hard. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves sitting under a juniper tree somewhere saying, God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't understand. I'm confused. God, I don't want to feel like this, but God, this is the way I feel. Do you think Elijah really wanted to be sitting under that juniper tree? Do you think he really wanted to be afraid after all that God had just done? No, I believe in his heart that he wanted to be in a victory place. He wanted to be in a place in his life that he was happy. And I believe that sometimes this morning, as we go through this life, when the journey becomes too great for us, I believe that there are times when we want to be happy. We want to have a smile on our face. We want to show that joy and that grace that we have in our life. But if we're not careful when these things happen in our lives, the journey becomes too great and we find ourselves either afraid or doubting or full of fear or feeling forsaken or hurt feelings or whatever it is. And we find ourselves going, God, I don't know. I just don't know. Because the journey can be too great. Sometimes the unanswered questions are too great in our life. Sometimes there's going to be things that happen in our lives that we just don't understand. There's going to be times of loss. There's going to be people and things that turn their back on you that you never thought would. The journey's too great for us. But just as Elijah is here in this cave, and just as Elijah is here and he's under this juniper tree, see if I can punch in my password. Just as Elijah is under this juniper tree, and as he is out here and he's, God, I don't know. I'm afraid and I don't want to be afraid. God, I know you helped me through this battle, but what about the next one? What about Jezebel? What about these people that are hunting me down? God, I'm the only one left. Why, God, is it just me? This journey's too great. But I'm so glad this morning that we're not on our own. That just as Elijah here in this cave or here under this juniper tree, as the angel of the Lord come and ministered unto him, I'm glad that this journey is too great for me. But I'm so glad that God didn't leave me alone. I'm so glad that I'm not on this journey by myself. I'm so glad that God's promised me that there'll never be a day that I'm on my own, that I don't have to feel forsaken, that I don't have to have all of these doubts and these fears and everything else. Because God said that he would never leave me and he would never forsake me. I'm glad as I'm here this morning, I'm trying to read some scriptures that I've got pulled up. And this thing never works right when I want it to. I think these things, here we go. Let me get to the place I want to be. It was too many scriptures to hand over. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter number 20, verse number 4. For the Lord your God, it is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. You know what? I'm glad that my enemy, even though he may be too great for me, that he's not too great for my God. I'm so glad this morning that I don't face my enemies on my own. That I don't. This journey may be too great for me, but it's not too great for my God. Psalms chapter number 37, verse number 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. That I don't even have to worry about supplying for myself. That God said that he's going to take care of that for me. That there's so many things that so many times I have questions about. John chapter number 16, verse number 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world which you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I'm not on my own this morning. Yeah, this journey is too great for me, but it's not too great for my God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This journey is too great for you, but it's not too great for your God. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and content with such things you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. I want to tell you something this morning. There's some of you probably sitting here in the congregation this morning that you have had people forsake you that you thought would never forsake you. You have had people turn their back and walk out of your life that you would have never thought that that would have happened. You've had friends all of a sudden become enemies that you would have never thought that that would have happened. But I want to tell you this morning that that part of the journey may be too great for you, but you have a God that said, I would never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Man, when you look around for just a little bit, when you look around and you see all the different things that are happening, let's go worldwide first. Let's look at all the whatever discombobulation that there is going on. Hey, today we're going to talk to Korea and tomorrow we ain't, and this is going to happen, that ain't going to happen. It could break loose any day, and I'm not trying to put fear in you, because God said he's not giving us a spirit of fear. But I want to tell you that anything could happen. It could be just wonderful and everything, and then it could just all blow loose either way. But I'm so thankful that whether it's good or whether it's bad, that God said he's never going to leave me and never going to forsake me. You know, he said, I'm going to hold you with my right hand of righteousness. Go over in Isaiah chapter number 40. He said, I'm going to hold you. I'm glad that he's holding me this morning. I'm not dependent on any of that. Now let's come down a little more local. And you can look around at things that are going on in our community. And you can look at, man, how in the world is all these kids messed up on drugs? And how in the world is all of this bad stuff happening in our community? And how is grown people getting on drugs? How is all this bad stuff happening? And I don't understand that. And when I get to looking at it, man, it kind of messes with my mind a little bit. That, you know, I've got three kids that I'm trying to raise, and God help me to raise them that none of that stuff ever affects them. But you know what? There is a devil and there is a spiritual world that's going to mess with their minds and try to pull them that direction. But I'm glad that they have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if they will trust in him with their whole life, that stuff won't come into influence in their life. I'm not saying that it won't. I'm just saying if they'll keep their trust in him. But if I got to thinking about that, that'd mess with my mind. But I'm glad I got to put all my hope and my trust in Jesus for that. You can even get even smaller than that. You get inside your home. Does anybody else's home have problems? My homes have problems sometimes. Most time it's me, but my home has problems sometimes. And sometimes it's too great. Sometimes I just want to go beat my head against the wall and go, what in the world doing? Why in the world will this not work smooth? Why in the world? But I want to tell you this morning that even in that place that God's got us in his hands, even in that place that God is holding us, Jennifer and Hannah, if y'all will come get us an invitational hymn in just a moment. This morning, maybe everything is wonderful in your life. Look, I'm going to tell you, I don't know why this week has been so just in my life. That's the best way I know how to describe it. Whatever that means to you, man, that's the way this week has been for me. Friday felt like Monday. You know, usually on Friday, I'm whistling and just tickled to death the work week's over, but it was just that way all week. And just, I mean, there's been a time or two that I just had to go somewhere and put my head, and I felt like crying. I didn't cry. I don't cry. I do cry. But I felt like crying, and I just had to get somewhere and say, God, I need some help. I need strength. I'm carrying this load. And you know what? Sometimes when that load gets that heavy, you feel like you're carrying it all alone, don't you? You know what Elijah feels like. You know it. You know you're not the only one, but you sure do feel like it. God, I need some help. And then God would remind me. I mean, it was through, I know sometimes Facebook is the devil, but sometimes there's things that comes through on there that I don't know where that feed is coming through, but it's exactly what I need at the minute that I needed it. And I'd flip open my little Bible app on my phone, and God would speak to me and say, here, let me calm you down just a little bit. I had to do this over and over and over this week. Aren't you glad that when the journey's too great for us, that we have that assurance that it's never going to be too great for our God? That we have that assurance that God's got us. That we have that assurance that He's holding us. I need that in my life. I am a people person. I like to be around people. And sometimes, though, when I withdraw myself and I get by myself, and I let God be that person in my life and just surround me for a few minutes, I realize that all this weight that I'm feeling, that He's really saying, give it to me anyway. Cast your care upon me because I care for you. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're feeling the weight. Maybe you're here this morning and the journey feels too great. Maybe you have hurt feelings. Maybe you've had disappointments. Maybe you've had loss in your life. Maybe you've had people forsake you, and man, sometimes it just hurts so bad you don't know how to get over it. Maybe there's some things like that going on in your life. Trust me this morning. Trust God and His Word that He's got you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've been through that valley. You've been in that place, and you still know that the only reason you made it through is because God was holding you. As you stand to your feet this morning, only you and God know whether you have a need. Maybe you're in a place that I've been in this week and you need to come talk to God and say, God, I need some reassurance that you're there. God, I need some help. God, I need to know that you're holding me. God, I need to know that even though this journey is too great for me, that you got this. Maybe you need to come and talk to Him. Or maybe you need to come and just say, God, I've been there. I know what that load feels like, and I just want to come praise you for being there when I need you. As Hannah sings, this altar is open. If God's speaking to your heart, come and talk things over with Him. Maybe you need to worship Him. Maybe you need to ask Him for help. Only you and God know.